Pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love towards us, and we pray that as we engage with your truth in your word this morning, you would refresh our thinking and draw our hearts, that we might see ourselves and you in the right light. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, as you may know, some today consider this day Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. Never mind. But when it comes to famous series, it's hard to beat the classic Mr. Men stories. Mr. Men appeared over 40 years ago and are still very popular, having sold over 100 million copies across almost 30 countries. Many of us remember them in all sorts of ways, reading them to people and hearing Arthur Lowe reading them on the television. Mr. Nosey, Mr. Tickle, Mr. Small, and these kinds of characters. Now this morning I want us to consider two other Mr. Men, if you like. Now there's no book about them, but they are rather like the two men that Jesus spoke about in his parable, his story with a meaning that we read from Luke's Gospel. We're going to start calling these two men Mr. Smith and Mr. Jones. Now, Mr. Smith and Mr. Jones both went to church one day to pray. Mr. Smith was a highly regarded, upstanding member of the community. He was held in great respect and was considered very religious, being a regular attender at church. Mr. Jones, on the other hand, was a man that everybody disliked. He kept in with a bad crowd and was well known for tricking pensioners out of their savings and getting away with it. People loathed and despised him. Now, Jesus said in his story that only one of these men went home from their time of prayer in the religious building, the temple, justified, that is, in the right with God. The question is, who was it? Now, of course, we would expect the person who went home right with God to be the upstanding, respectable Mr. Smith. But Jesus told his story deliberately to shock those who heard it. And it should shock us too. Because in fact, Jesus says, it was the other man, the dodgy, despised Mr. Jones, who returned home a friend of God. Well, let's think about our two Mr. Men more carefully. Mr. Smith actually should have been called something like Mr. Self. Mr. Self was a Pharisee, a deeply devoted religious man who was keen to keep the rules, or at least be seen to be keeping the rules. When he got to the temple to pray, he stood at the front in full view of everyone else. He was full of confidence. Confidence in what he saw as his own good deeds, his own goodness. Mr. Self started to say his prayers. I wonder if you remember the word that his prayers were full of. Jean read it very helpfully, emphasizing the word. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. He was full of his own goodness, or what he thought was his own goodness. So he speaks of his religious devotion, his fasting, and his financial donations, in his case, way beyond what most people did. He makes himself feel good by comparing himself, but only to those who are obviously bad. Thieves, people who abuse others, those who steal other people's wives or husbands. On this particular day, Mr. Self felt particularly confident because he could see the other man in the story hiding away at the back of the temple, and he knew that he came out very well compared to him. Mr. Self was in fact the sort of person who thinks in the end, I may not be perfect, but I'm a pretty good person. And when God puts my life in the balance, I will have done enough for him to accept me. After all, I'm certainly better than so many other people I could think of. I wonder if we've ever heard that kind of attitude expressed. I wonder if we've ever thought it ourselves. Mr. Self then was self-confident. He thought that what he did would make God accept him. But of course there was another man in the story. Let's call him Mr. Sinner. Now everyone knew that Mr. Sinner was bad news. Mr. Sinner was a tax collector. Now of course that was not someone like someone today who works for Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. No, being a tax collector in those days meant that you worked for the hated Roman rulers. But not only that, someone like Mr. Sinner would con people by taking extra money for themselves. So Mr. Sinner was seen as a traitor and a crook. He was the sort of person who made you feel sick inside. Now, if you were being asked about who would be in the wrong with God or in the right with God, a person who would be going to heaven or a person who would be going to hell, it was a no-brainer. Everyone thought that God would surely despise Mr. Sinner as much as they did. But on this occasion, according to Jesus' parable, Mr. Sinner found himself in the temple. Now that was quite a surprise to many people. But the tax collector, says Jesus, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." See, Mr. Sinner knew what was true about him. He knew that he was in trouble before a pure and holy God. He had nothing to offer to God to suggest that he was good enough for him. His body language made it clear. He stood far off, away from others. He wouldn't even look up in the direction where most people thought of God's presence being. Instead, he had his head down. And as a sign of recognizing his need and his sorrow for how he had behaved, he hit his chest with his hands. He simply asked God to spare him, to let him off for all his bad behavior, even though he didn't deserve it. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," he cries out. Now Jesus then said that it was Mr. Sinner, the tax collector, who went home justified before God, not Mr. Self, the Pharisee. Now this was rather like Jesus saying that a terrorist rather than a bishop was made a friend with God. It was like a mugger, not the chairman of the parish council, being assured of heaven. It was like a crooked banker rather than a charity worker who was right with God. So how on earth did Mr. Sinner end up justified and Mr. Self not? Well, the truth is that both men were sinners. Both didn't deserve God's attention. But Mr. Self thought that he was okay and didn't need God's help. Mr. Self failed to realize just how pure and holy God is, and that everyone falls short. Everyone fails to have God in the right place in their lives. Everyone fails to love him and other people as they should. Everyone is a sinner, even though some are obviously very bad sinners in our terms and others are more respectable sinners. Mr. Self made the catastrophic mistake of thinking that he could put right his very small mistakes himself by the good things or the religious things that he might do. Mr. Sinner, on the other hand, had got to the point where he knew very well that he was needy. He recognized that his only hope was that God, as well as being pure, might also be merciful and forgive him. So in humility, he cries out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." See, Mr. Sinner admitted his need, unlike Mr. Self, who thought he didn't have a need because he had done so much, as he thought it, to earn God's approval. Mr. Sinner's prayer is literally, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." He is very aware of how he has fallen short of what he should be. Mr. Sinner then asks that God would have mercy on him, that God would not hold against him the wrong things that he has done, even though God would be just to do so. Well, how can God forgive sins when he is perfect and just and holy? Well, interestingly, the tax collector, Mr. Sinner, in our version, asks for mercy when standing in the temple. Now, the temple was more than a place where people went to pray. It was also where sacrifices were offered. The sacrifices reminded the people that God was pure and that forgiveness was costly to God because he is holy and pure. Mr. Sinner, the tax collector's prayer, actually includes a word that is connected to the sacrificial system. He prays literally, "God be propitiated towards me, the sinner. May that sacrifice, which shows that sin is wrong and needs to be paid for, may it pay for my forgiveness as you have planned." Now, Jesus told this parable when he was on his way to Jerusalem. And of course, when he got to Jerusalem, as we've remembered at Easter, he died on the cross in order to be himself the sacrifice for sins, to pay the price for sins. Jesus was himself the propitiation for our sins, as was explained in our epistle reading in Romans 3, the same word that we quote from the Apostle John in our communion service. Jesus came to be the means by which sins can be forgiven and God can remain just at the same time, for he pays the price in himself, in his Son, and then proves that this is true by raising him from the dead. So the man to focus on in this parable is therefore not really Mr. Self, the Pharisee, or Mr. Sinner, the tax collector, but, as you might say, Jesus, Mr. God-man rescuer, the one who is fully God and fully man and who died to pay the price for sins. So Mr. Sinner went home justified, and that was because he recognized his need and humbly asked that God would forgive him through his undeserved and yet just love. So Jesus' parable of Mr. Self, the Pharisee, and Mr. Sinner, the tax collector, makes us ask, how do we come to pray? What do we think makes us right with God? Luke tells us that Jesus told a story to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. You see, if we think that we're good enough for God in and of ourselves because of what we do, well, then we're in real trouble with him. But when someone comes to God recognizing their need and asks for forgiveness because of Jesus, well, then they can be justified, made right with God. The great prayer of humble access, as it's usually called, that we use so regularly at Holy Communion, is partly based on this parable of Jesus. So we say regularly, "We do not presume to come, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy, but thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy." So we can only come to God on the basis of what Jesus has done for us and asking for his mercy. We cannot come in our own goodness like Mr. Self. That is a disaster, for we cannot pay the price required, no matter how good or devoted we are. Our confidence, and what a confidence it is in Jesus and his death on the cross, paying the price, removing God's just anger against us. Now, Jesus' parable also challenges about how we view others. Luke tells us he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Now, it's true that Christians may need to stand for truth and argue for what God has made known as right and wrong for the benefit of our neighbours. but never with pride or self-righteousness or lack of love for others. For we are all fellow citizens. We are all in need of God's mercy in Christ. And here is also a reminder that no one is beyond God's heart of mercy. If a tax collector can be made a friend with God, anyone can be. God can reach out to all kinds of sinners. God can change people's hearts and help people to realize their need and what he has done in Jesus. And that means that any who turn back to him, any who ask for his mercy, can be made right with him and live for him and look forward to being with him forever. As Jesus said as he concluded his parable, "For everyone who lifts himself up, exalts himself, will be humbled. But the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we find a story like this is quite a shock and is in some senses disturbing and provokes us to examine the self-righteousness that can so easily be in our hearts. And yet also, Father, we rejoice in the hope that it gives to us as sinners, that as we come to you, relying on what Jesus has done, in humility knowing that we cannot put ourselves right with you, we thank you that there is a way open. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to grasp this wonderful message of grace more and more in our hearts, and also to so live it out that we might reach out to others who, like us, are sinners in need of your mercy. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.